Good evening, travelers of the night. My name is Wesley Chereau, and I'm the Dungeon Master for The Stranger, a narrative-focused Dungeons & Dragons actual play show. The first episode of The Stranger streams October 3rd. To stay in the loop, join our Discord in the video description down below. This is a prequel episode for one of the player characters, Trevor Popolo, Part 1. Without further ado, please meet Trevor.
All right, one moment here. Okay, wait. No, okay, yep, we're recording.
Good.
Hey, Trevor.
All right. Hey, thanks for bringing me here. If I knew this was going to be happening all fancy-like, I would have, would have dressed up, I suppose. I kind of look like a polished turd compared to you, but, I'm happy to be here.
Well, fortunately, our guests at home are not going to be seeing you, so, maybe you want to paint a picture of what you're wearing. I'm winking right now for those listening.
Oh, sure. I got my standard stuff on, just got off a shift, so, wearing my standard, it don't look too pretty, but, it's got a little bit of pig shit on it, but, I was asking for advice from him, about how I should go about answering your questions. Turns out, not great conversationalists. Then again, neither am I.
I know some druids who could probably help with that. Well, anyway, let's get into it. Don't be shy. Feel free to answer however you feel comfortable. I'll filter things out and make it more palatable for those listening. So, Trevor, welcome, and thank you for agreeing to this interview. Could you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
The audience. It's so weird thinking that there's, like, people listening to this thing. Like, just look at this. I'm just... Sorry, you got, like... So I'm supposed to speak, and then this thing is supposed to, like, hear me, and it, like, takes my voice?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't realize you weren't familiar. This here is a nice little device. We like to call it Echocron. It's a marvel,
Echocron.
Really.
Echocron.
Physically, actually, why don't I just explain? Physically, the Echocron is a device slightly larger than a human palm. For those listening, it's encased in a durable casing of mithril alloy, provides strength and magical conductivity. The front side boasts a polished amethyst crystal, which pulses with a soft inner lining, serving as the primary conduit for the magic involved. Beneath the crystal, there's a series of delicate mechanical switches and dials used for controlling the recording process. Basically, it casts the echo spell, and it repeats that process to keep our voices recorded for forever.
All right, could have just led with that, but sorry. No, I mean, who's doing the interview here, right?
I'm just explaining.
Asking you stuff.
Sure.
Okay.
So, Trevor, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What is a life what is a day in the life of Trevor?
Going back, hi, audience, whoever's listening. My name is Trevor Popola. I come from a little town just at the end of the Embra. A little town called Beale. I'm sure your big city folks ain't never heard of it, but we do quite well for ourselves. Let's see. Got a nice wife, love of my life, little girl on the way, live with my mama, best friend, love her to death. Like you said, I ain't much different from any normal folk. You know, I've just, my line of work... Nowadays, ever since I kind of gave up the ranch handin', more or less, I suppose it's not exactly a white-collar job, you call it. A little bit of odd jobs here and there. I'm a mercenary.
Oh, a mercenary. And how long have you been in this line of work?
Oh, well, you got a watch? Not too long. No, I'd say a couple weeks or so. But, I mean, I got the body for it. You know, I've been working out for a while now. Thankfully, the time shoveling shit has given me kind of a leg up in the, in the physicality department.
Would you recommend shoveling excrement for anybody looking to get into your line of work?
It don't hurt, I suppose. I mean, the pay ain't great, that's for sure. That's why I quit. But, builds character. It's good experience. The other ranch hands, they're a little surly. They don't quite enjoy me flapping my gums all the time. But, it's a learning experience. And, I didn't go to school or nothing, so that's about where I get all my learning done.
Interesting. Speaking of, I noticed you were, before I started recording here, you had some fascinations about this here recorder. Have you encountered anything similar before? What is it about it that interested you so much?
That Ecochron, whatever you call it. I had never seen anything like that before. It's crazy. I ain't set foot much outside of Beale. So, most of our technology, what you call it, ain't very sophisticated. But, we got a blacksmith. He makes the horseshoes and, he puts it in the forge, tempers the steel. That's about as high tech as it gets in Beale. I mean, you could go to Mr. Gaspard, one of the noblemen, for the more high-end technology. But, I don't speak too much with him. We ain't exactly on the same page.
Well, let's actually talk about that. So, you grew up in Beale. Let's delve into that for a moment. Can you describe what it was like growing up for you over in Beale?
Oh, man. Well, we are far from civilization, as you'd probably call it. I mean, it's simple, but it's good. Let me think. Beale is, if I could describe it in a word, it's yellow. Whole lot of yellow. Big yellow fields. Not much grows on it. So you really got to work the hell out of it to make a decent living. Well, growing up here, it's, I had my problems. Yeah, definitely had my problems. I wasn't the best kid. My mama tried her best, but she was living on her own. My daddy, he was one of them orcs, clearly, as you can see. Sorry, audience, I'm looking a little green, although I'm not sick. But never knew my daddy. Heard stories from my mama. Maybe he was a great guy. I never know. Growing up, people's always scared of orcs. Because I suppose they got their reasons. So every now and again, the red tide will wash through Beale, and we got to defend ourselves from them. And I defend myself just as much as any other man standing guard in Beale does too, But, it's just, take one look at me and they get a little, shaky. I suppose that's their prerogative. But, it's tough. And, we didn't have a lot growing up, and I had to learn how to protect myself when I had to.
Got it. You mentioned about your time on the farm. Well, what did a typical day look like for you?
Well, I suppose mercenary work is different from farming work. The hours are a little easier with mercenary work, if you'll believe that. Yeah, you're waking up at the crack of dawn, getting up, feeding the chickens, just making sure they're all good, the rooster's all good. You're going up to the sheep, making sure they's fed. We got some horses there. My favorites. Love me some horses. And, I mean, like I said, you're carrying hay, you're shoveling shit, spreading out the feed, making sure there ain't no fights between some of the mares. And, I mean, it's simple. Pretty dirt simple, which is fairly good enough for me. I mean, I read books, sure, but it takes me a while. Some of the bigger words are a little, they take a bit. This, farmhanding, that was my happy place. Unfortunately, it was simple enough that they felt like, I couldn't really support a family on a farmhand's wage, is what I'm saying.
That must be tough. You mentioned earlier that shoveling excrement was, helpful in getting into this line of work. Are there any other experiences that working on the farm prepared you for what you do now?
Well, gave me the value of a good day's work, I suppose, is the main thing. I mean, like I said, it's dirt simple. But it takes discipline, I think is what the man said. Discipline. Perseverance, a lot of that stuff. So, you know, you're waking up super early before the sun even rises just so that you can go out and make sure everything's accounted for, making sure that everything's in its proper place. So, you know, it taught me the value of taking orders. I mean, nowadays the orders is a little more complicated, but it's more or less the same thing, you know. You get whoever's paying you tells you what to do, you go and do it. You know, it's you ain't paid to ask questions. And when it comes to farming, the questions is a little more simpler, like, is these chickens fed? Is these cows milked? But, I mean, it's the consistency, I think, is what farming taught me.
Is there anything in particular about your childhood or memory of it, that helps kind of paint the picture of how you become who you are today? Any particular stories that stand out, perhaps?
Oh, well, I mean, I suppose there's a little bit. My mama, when she was younger, she used to work for Mr. Gaspard. He was the nobleman who kind of overlooked the whole town. Kind of like a mayor of sorts, but he never had no official power here. He just had all the money. What happened was my mama worked for him as a personal chef. She was like a little helper, I suppose you'd say. You know, she'd cook the meals for him, she'd do a little cleaning. And, you know, whenever she came back home, she was always so exhausted. You know, she could cook like nobody's business. She put every ounce of love into every dish she made for that man. And then when she came home, it was like there was nothing left. And so, you know, when I was coming home from my work, and I see her and she's tired and I'm tired, and she goes to make me a meal. And despite her being exhausted, you know, wearing her right down to the bone, you know, she still put every ounce of love that she gave to Mr. Gaspard to me. You know, she's worked her hardest, and that inspired me to work hard. So I ain't got a whole lot of good memories from back then. You know, adults, they at least pick their words a little better when they're making fun of me. Kids, they ain't got that kind of filter. So whenever I came home to my mama, and she always had a nice warm meal, and it weren't nothing fancy like she'd make for Mr. Gaspard, but still had that love in it. And that's always what I look forward to.
Sounds like you had a lot of love in your childhood, at least at home.
A lot of love to give from just that poor little woman.
What do you think she imparted? You got a big heart there, Trevor?
Well, I got big everything. I suppose I got a big heart, too. She raised me right. What can I say?
Well, let's fast forward a bit. You met your wife. Can you tell us, maybe, any particular stories about the two of you? How did you meet, or anything in particular?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I suppose that is a story, ain't it? Well, remember how I told you about adults choosing their words right when they spoke to me? Since we're at the end of the Embra, well, sometimes we get sailors coming in down the river to pick up some of the stuff we export to the bigger cities. You know, wool, dried meats, eggs, stuff like that. Well, this one time, I'm probably like 14 years old, real young, and I'm just outside one of the old watering holes, and a bunch of sailors, they're indulging themselves, I suppose you could say, and they overindulge, and I'm young, but I'm still big, you know. I've been working for a good few years as a farmhand at that point, so I've built up bunch of muscle. They think I'm someone that they can prove themselves to, I suppose. And men and their drink, they challenge me, and I mean, I got more heart than brains, so I tell them, sure, they think they're hard enough, they can take their shots. What they didn't say is that they'd be taking all their shots at once. So I'm lying there as probably about 5-6 sailors wailing on me, leaving me a bloody mess, about to walk away, and I mean, I'm still conscious, right? That means the fight ain't over. I get up and I say, hey, you finished the fight. And, well, they're about to oblige me. And then... and then a guardian angel floats down from the heavens. I mean, that's what I saw anyway. I'd seen her before. But never this up close. You can see all the fine details of her face. She steps between me and them. And she threatens them. Says that her father is, well, he runs this place. They go off running, setting sail. I never saw them again. But that girl, she said her name is Freya. And I said, well, hey, Freya, I knew your name, but I suppose you don't know mine. It's Trevor. She said, oh, you idiot, I know your name. I seen you before, too. It's not that big a town. And, it's like a fairy tale thing to say love at first sight, right? But, my vision was a little blurry, so it took me a second to really make out the finer features. But that's where we first started talking. And a couple years later, we're happily married, so I'm not that good at talking, but I must have done something right to bag her.
You know, it's interesting. That is some tenacity, Trevor. You really, this must have at least influenced your present work a little bit, that experience, you know, getting wailed on by these sailors.
It's transferable skill, I suppose. I'm not too good at hitting. I mean, I can throw a punch like nobody's business, but I think that's where my skills lie, is getting hit and getting back up. And I think You know, when I signed up for the Obsidian Legion, I think that's what they saw in me. You know, I can't really swing a sword too good. I mean, like, I know where, you know, I know which end the pointy end's at, you know, but I think what they saw was that same tenacity. You know, I'm like a stray dog, you know. You know, he's been in a few scraps, but, you know, you put his back to the wall and he's going to fight to the death. And, you know, I'm going to do the same thing.
So, I guess, speaking of your wife, how has she influenced your journey into becoming a mercenary? In any way at all, if any, that is.
Oh, well, I mean, she's my everything, you know. She's what I'm doing this for. Her, my mama, and my little kid, when they eventually show up. I mean, when I went and saw Freya, you know, we was seeing each other on the down low, right? Because, you know, her father was... Well, you didn't look too kindly. I mean, I was, what, some pissant farmhand half-orc? So, like, not exactly the most convenient of marriages for Mr. Gaspard. But when that happened, I mean, eventually it had to come out. And Mr. Gaspard, well... He didn't take kindly to that. I didn't even meet the man, but I suppose I didn't have to. I suppose my reputation preceded me. So Freya's out on her own, no more daddy's money. Let go of my mama, so, you know, she's now unemployed, and I'm left with a baby on the way and 3 mouths to feed, coming up on 4. You know, as much as I like... you know, as much as I like doing my farmhand thing, looking after them horses, it's just, it's not feasible. I mean, I gotta win the bread for the family now. You know, mercenary work, it's dangerous, sure, but, you know, it's what I need to do, you know. I'm a big guy, I can't sing or dance, but, you know, I can take a hit. And I think they saw that in me, so it's all for them, all for them.
Mr. Gaspard sounds like a powerful individual. Just so you know, we might cut out the part about his laying off of your mom. We don't want to be divisive, especially in a small community.
Oh, yeah, I mean, sure. There ain't a lot of people in Beale. Word spreads pretty fast. So, I mean, I get it. I keep forgetting that this ain't just you and me. It's, I can't get over that. Sorry.
Well, the wonders of modern technology. Let's change gears a bit. Why did you choose to become a mercenary specifically? And in doing so, was there a specific event that led to that decision besides economic circumstances? Or is that all?
I mean... There's a little more to it, I suppose. A lot of it is the money thing. A lot of it is making sure that my daughter, son, whatever you want. I mean, she ain't had her yet, so I can't tell. You know, making sure that they got a better life than I had. A lot of it is that. But, I don't know, man. I spent my whole life being called a monster. You know, all... defending from orcs, you know, that's all you see is, you see the warring tribes, the red tide washing them down, and I don't know, you get called that so many times, you start thinking, hey, maybe that's what they want me to be, you know, maybe that's what I'm best at. So, I don't know, man, I didn't want to hurt nobody, you know, I just was born into this world how I am. You know, I'm a big guy, you know. It's, I ain't no shopkeeper. I ain't no tailor. I ain't no green grocer. You know, I certainly ain't no dancer. I'm a fighter, you know. And they want me to go out and fight? Fine. You want me to be that monster? I'll be that monster, sure. But I'm going to make my money while I do it.
And if things don't work out, we're gonna go back to being a dancer, right?
I mean, you get enough drinks in me, I can be whatever you want.
let's go to your early life as a mercenary. These first days in doing so, first missions maybe, what were they like for you?
Well, there's a few growing pains, I suppose. A guy like me casts a big shadow, so, you know, I gotta do my best to act like I belong. You know, it's difficult. I broke horses back when I was a ranch hand, but this is, you gotta be tougher than that. You know, you gotta put up a front, sorta. You gotta act like you belong. And, I mean, it was easy to look the part. I mean, I was pretty burly. But the minute you try and talk to me, I'm just, I'm scared shitless. I'm just, so this recruiter in the Obsidian Legion, he's walking up to me, and he's telling me, "Lan, like, you got the body for merc work." And I said, "Well, sure, but, you know, I was actually looking for something a little more hands-on." You know, and he said, "Well, we can get you in a band, show you the ropes, and, you know, I can show you some of the lighter jobs, and then we can move you up from there, see where you go." You know, and I'm just like, yeah, man, light work. Sure, as long as the pay's good, I can do whatever, man. You need me to move boxes, I can move boxes. You need me to sharpen swords. I mean, I ain't know how to do that, but I can learn, you know? Yeah, I'm just trying to fit in. And so that was what it was for like the first couple weeks. I was just, I was like a little decoration to the whole ensemble, you know. I wasn't doing much, but I was looking good. So I suppose that's what helped me get the bigger jobs, you know. Before it was just like, oh, can you escort this old lady back home, make sure she ain't harried, you know. And I did that fair enough. It was easy work, a little boring, but easy work. You know, move away up for hunting wild rabid dogs, you know, putting them down. I can do that easy peasy, you know, and eventually, you know, work your way up. Eventually, you're like a little bodyguard work. Yeah, it's like me climbing the ladder, you know? It's like any other business, I suppose. You know, you just start at the bottom, you go all the way up, you know, and the money, way better than farming, I'll tell you that much.
And how has your approach changed since you started working as a mercenary? If it has, you might just be doing the same thing you always have been, but has it changed at all since you picked up the ropes and gotten to where you are today?
Well, like I said, it's been a little weird. Like, they started off giving me a sword. I tried to work my way doing that, but, like, if you can, I mean, I'm like this big 6'6" motherfucker, you know, and me holding this little short sword looks like a toothpick in my hand, looked like I'm about to clean my teeth. So they took that from me and said, "Oh, listen, man, I think there's a better way to channel what you got going on." They had this guy, knew a bunch of like martial arts, knew how to center his emotions and like break ice with his bare hands, stuff like that. And, you know, I'd heard stuff like that, and it interested me, you know. I was a big enough guy that whenever I threw a punch, I mean, I probably wasn't going to hit, but if I did, it was going to leave a mark, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, he said, "Listen, we're going to get you some training with this guy." And, you know, a couple months later, I'm pretty good at it. They don't have me with no sword no more. I can throw a punch pretty quick, you know. It's all about making your body flow like water, I think is what the guy said. I mean, it's a bunch of BS, but it's pretty actionable BS, you know. I just throw that punch and wha-pow, man.
For those listening, I'm 5'5", and Trevor here towers over me. I don't think I could take a punch from you, Trevor.
It's okay. I ain't gonna throw no punch unless someone pays me to. So, no, I'm not. Don't worry, man.
I know. Hey. I know a few people who probably wouldn't mind paying you for that, but that's neither here nor there. Let's see. What advice would you give to somebody who's considering becoming a mercenary, based on your own experiences?
I'd say probably there's a lot of, like, education you gotta undertake, like, beforehand. Like, I came in there with basically nothing, and it took a little bit of getting used to really get in with the, get in with the guys. But, I mean, I suppose get in while you're young. Not too young. Of course, we don't want to be handing no toddlers no swords or nothing. But make sure that you get in with the boys fairly early. You know, because with the Obsidian Legion, with the guys they put me with, is, you know, it's like you're going through the shit together. You know what I'm saying? You're going through some hard times. You know, there's some jobs are easier than others. Sometimes you're putting your life on the line, and you want the person beside you to have your back, just like you got his, right? So, you know, just make sure you get in good with the boys pretty early on, preferably when you're a bit younger than I was. It took a little bit of awkward conversations before I got these guys to warm up to me. But now, I mean, it's like we're family. You know, we're going through the shit together. So, just be nice, I suppose.
Good to know. Well, look, Trevor, it's been so nice getting to know you today. I think that's all I've got.
Okay.
Well, thank you for your time. Anything else you want to mention before I cut the recording?
I suppose if we're going to be doing this a little more, I'll keep you updated. I'll keep our wonderful audience updated. Can I say hi to my wife?
Go ahead. I'll make sure to keep it in.
Thank you. Hey, Freya. Oh, it's Trevor. Oh, how you doing? Sorry, I can't say how you doing. She can't hear. She can't answer. Okay. Keep it up. Oh, man. You're so great. Okay. All right. Is that... Is there, what else you need me to do?
Oh, don't worry. I'll hit the off button here. Everybody, that is Trevor. Trevor Popola, is that right?
Popola. But, you know, the big words, like I said, ain't too hard on.
All right, let me...
Can I hit the button?
Yeah.
Can I hit the button?
Of course, go ahead.
Thanks. Bye.